You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio.
Good morning. It is Saturday morning, February 1st, year of our Lord 2020, unlike my vision.
Now recording.
I'm here with Craig, the bot. I'm here with Jairus, the longtime dedicated keeper of the Fakeologist Discord. A Fakeologist Discord super fan, in fact. And he
yes,
is,
I am.
I believe, in Switzerland.
Yes, I am. I am still in Geneva, Switzerland. It's currently almost the middle of the day here. It's pretty rainy, but it's a strange winter because it seems that the winter this year was just a week of decent cold. And after that, everything is normal.
Yeah, January has been pretty good in Toronto. Had a couple of 10 to 15 centimeter snowfalls. Other than that, we've had a lot of temperatures around zero. Our average high is -2 in January, so that's close enough to the average. That's not a big deal. It's been a pretty easy one, but at least in this country, or in Toronto, I don't want to speak for the whole country, because Canada is as big as Europe from side to side, or as big as Russia, so I don't want to speak for any other part of Canada except Toronto on the north shore of Lake Ontario. It's its own unique climate, continental climate. We have at least two more months of winter. There's just, and some of the more active winter weather occurs in February and March. So we're so far away from spring right now, I don't even like to think about it because it's too far into the future.
Yes. In Switzerland, the change I did see during my lifetime is that when I was younger, winter tend to start mid-December until, let's say, early February. But now it's different. Now winter starts late February, and sometimes it goes on until March. So I can see those changes. I don't say that there is a global climatic change, but...
How old are you? You're only in your 30s.
35.
Right?
35.
Okay. So really, your observations are in such a narrow range of years, they may as well be irrelevant. If I meet someone who's 500 years old, then I might listen to them talk about the change. Of course, they'd never be able to remember it, but I don't even like to talk about my recollections of winter, because I've lived in different cities in Canada, so every city is different, a different weather, weather, and to me, I remember it was heavy snow in December as a useless eyewitness report, as useless as any eyewitness in the major media, completely a waste of time, and the idea that they didn't really write down weather statistics very detailed until maybe the 50s, we don't even go back that far in Canada, so it doesn't matter what you tell me about 5 years ago. To me, it's irrelevant. It's not supporting any argument for whatever the climate religion of the day is, and to me, it's just noise. The weather changes here every day. Every day we wake up and we get something slightly different. One thing we don't get much is sun, which, of course, is essential to life. It's essential to your psychological well-being, and we don't get much. I haven't seen the sun for a few days now. I'll give everyone an update. I just got back from Florida, otherwise known as Florida, where I went to the one place where my wife always wants to go, which is Disney World, which is one of the most expensive places on earth to go. and therefore we only go for a few days, but makes her happy, and we did have some pretty good sun down there, and it really changes your attitude when the sun is beaming down on your face and warming you up. Stuff we don't get in Toronto, I'll have to probably wait till April or May to see the sun for any length of time here, so...
Yes, one thing that that I would have the most difficulty living under the climate is, for example, Colombia, where the sun is setting each and every day at the same hour. That I could not live with. I need to have more sun on the summer and less sun on the winter.
Well, I've never been to Colombia or anywhere south of Mexico, so I don't know. It wouldn't bother me. I hate the dark. I'm against dark, and in the winter, we have, I guess, the maximum amount of darkness on December 21st is pushing 17 hours of darkness. So there's nothing about the darkness that's good for your health, except if you want to sleep.
Yes. Yes, here it's the same even on winter time. You go to work while it's still dark, and when you go home, it's already dark.
Yeah, so if you go... If I got 12 hours a day on average of sunlight every day of the year, I would not complain about that. That would be fantastic because I could easily coordinate 12 hours of sleeping with that and have no issues. I'd probably live a lot longer. Darkness is not good.
Yes, but I always wanted to try to go to Iceland when it's nighttime. For the full day. I think that it's for 6 weeks. I will, of course, not stay 6 weeks there, but I always wanted to try a week of full darkness.
You see, I'm the opposite. I would rather go... The farthest north that I would go in Canada to a major city is Edmonton, Alberta, in the west. And in the summertime, on June 21st, the sun sets at 10:30 at night. I would love to experience the opposite of what you want. I would like a 20-hour day of sunlight. And I think the sun sets at 10:30 and comes up maybe at 4:30. So they have a really long day on June 21st. I would have loved to experience that. I guess if I went to the Yukon, which I suppose is farther north, but not that much farther north, probably in Whitehorse. I was going to go last year, but... Nobody in my family wanted to go because there's nothing to do there. I would have experienced even more light. I like light.
Yes. And I woke up this morning, my girlfriend was watching a bit of news, and something happened that totally escaped me, to be honest. Brexit happened yesterday. They did remove all the British flag from the European Parliament and all that. All the ceremony took part all over Europe. The flag removal ceremonies and all that.
Yes, well, actually, it's coincidental you mention that, because I'm just listening now to the No Agenda show, which, as you know, is a favorite show of mine, and I think they're really hitting their stride, because they probably are making, I don't count it much, they're probably making, I'm going to guess, $10,000 a week on that show now. That's how much donation money is pouring in. That might be a little high, but they have to split it in two. But they're making really great donation money, if you believe the donation segments, because they do broadcast, this guy gave 1,000, this guy gave 1,000, this guy gave 200. And I forgot, I haven't donated this year, because I wanted to write a nice note that they could read. And I have to mail it, because I don't use PayPal for that. Because I like to send a check, so I just have been too lazy to do that. Uh-huh. But they're talking about Brexit just before you came online here. And I was listening to Nigel Farage, who is a great speaker, and he is the British MEP to the European Union, member of European Parliament. Great speaker. If he became Prime Minister of Britain, it would be very interesting, because he's such a good speaker. One of the best speakers
I've ever heard. Yes, he made an interesting speech for his goodbye to the European Parliament, but I did not listen to it yet. Because since I don't watch any news, I did not realize that he said goodbye because of Brexit. I thought that the guy was just quitting his job at the Parliament, so I did not listen to that discourse because I thought that it was just related to him.
Well, I don't know if he's quitting the Parliament yet, because...
The European Parliament, yes, of course, because all the places that were held by the UK government are now free, so they are going to remove some and redistribute the other one.
Yes, and they also mentioned they're trying to get Switzerland in to the European Union.
Yes, good luck with that. They tried. Ever since I can remember being interested in politics, I remember that they tried that, and good luck with that. No one will ever vote in that way in Switzerland.
Yeah, you guys have it too good. You don't need any more money, and you don't... Any country that has money does not want to join any union to pay into it and cost them money.
Yes, and to be honest...
You have all the money.
Yes.
Yeah.
And really not in any... It's useless to join the... For us to join the European Union.
It's not in any rich country's interest, unless you want to expand your markets. Like Germany,
yes, and fact is, since we are surrounded by countries of the European Union, in the end we have some old kind of treaty and deals that make it like we are already in the European Union, being for immigration rights, worker protection, all those things. We already abide by the UN standards. Right. So in the end, we are already in the UN without really saying it.
Okay, just give me a minute here.
Yes. So like I said, but the thing is that there is ongoing negotiation on many topics between Switzerland and the European Union. But Switzerland is a country of only 8 million inhabitants, so of course the weight of this country is not that much, even though we are rich and we hold many of the wealth of the world. Thing is, our political strength is not that big, so of course we are at a disadvantage every time we negotiate something with the European Union. And that's how it is. So in the end, we mostly abide by the European Commission rule, not included in the European Union, but it's similar. There is not that much difference between our political system and the European Union political system. And we cannot be an island, of course. We are surrounded by European countries, so this is what it is. We got to play by the rules somehow. And in that sense, Brexit is an interesting thing, because the British will be faced with the same challenges that we have been faced with in the past few years, which is renegotiate each and every agreement we ever had with the European Union. Mostly on the immigration topic, which is a problem, because of course each and every country that has sovereignty will have the right to establish their own immigration rule, which is supposed to be pertinent to the country, but thing is, we are not doing that. And on another note, the big news item of the week, which is, of course, the coronavirus. Got to try to better my English accent. My French accent got to disappear. So anyway, the coronavirus is the thing of the day. Each and everyone is speaking about that. We are supposed to be afraid, and of course there is travel limitation now. But thing is, I am not really afraid about the coronavirus because I'm still afraid about Iran, you know. The news cycle is too fast for me. I fear that I don't have enough fear in my heart for all those events. I think that my fear capital, all the fear that I have in my body, was spent on this Iran-USA Third World War. So, in the end, now comes the coronavirus, and I don't have any more fear to give to that. So, I don't know how the reality of this situation is. I really, really don't know how the reality of this illness is. But, thing is, if you watch a bit of the news, it shows like an horror movie. An epidemic outbreak in China, containment, travel limitation. Just tell it like that. It looked like the...
Did you see the movie Contagion?
Yes, it looked like that, exactly. That's exactly...
I never saw it, and coincidentally, or not coincidentally, there's a a show called on Netflix. I don't have Netflix, but there's a pathogen. I can't remember the name of it. There's some show about, they just came out last week, about
yes.
this kind of topic, virus. I can't remember the name of it right now, but there's something that begins with a P. For some reason, it eludes me. But yeah, the
yes,
programming
yes.
is there. And then Chris from Hoaxbusters found a video on YouTube about Event 201. Have you heard of Event 201?
No.
I got to get you to read the blog, fakeologist.com. Bob, I know you're on Discord all the time, but I put it on the blog, which, of course, is the predecessor to Discord. Event 201 was a worldwide, I guess, WHO or European Union or whoever runs the world. They had think tanks of the world do a drill on a pandemic, swept the world. It was Event 201. It was basically a blueprint for what drill or fake event is going on now with the coronavirus. So they do the drills in advance, and it's all about control, really. It's about how you would control the world from a health point of view, from a travel point of view, from an economic point of view. And they had it's all on YouTube. The entire thing is there for if anyone wants to sit through Event 201 and see what they discuss, it's there. Not a secret. It's an in-your-face.
No,
it's yes, an in-your-face
It might be interesting.
And it's carrying on right now. And I'll go back to the No Agenda show. These guys are doing great work. And they've got boots on the ground, people that are in Wuhan. And I never heard of Wuhan. I had to look it up. It's in the middle of the livable or arable part of China, which is about two-thirds of the south to east side of China is arable. I guess the northwest corner of China is mountainous and probably not as inhabitable. And Wuhan is literally the center of the arable lands, and it's the industrial powerhouse of China. It's the Detroit of China. Detroit used to be the center of automaking in the 50s in the United States. So all the big car companies are in Wuhan. And their economy is growing at about 10% a year. That's incredible growth. Insane growth.
Yes.
And I suppose it's more of a... You know, the Chinese that live around there are just coming off the land as they industrialize the country. And these people are not educated, but they're good workers, I guess. And obviously the goal, insidious or not, is to get the Chinese off the land and into the factories and building things. And these people don't practice the same sanitation that we do. And as such, they live with their animals, which is not a good thing when it comes to transmitting bacteria, because I don't believe in viruses at all. But when you mix animals and people and put them in close contact, and the people catch the bacteria, which is a real thing, a bacteria is a real animal,
yes.
and if a human gets it, you can get sick. And you don't have any immunity to animal bacteria because it's not supposed to be in our bodies. So our body
yes.
cannot defend against it. And then you
and
could
one
probably
thing that
die
is, yes.
from the sepsis.
One thing that is worth to mention is that it is rumored that 10% of the cooking oil in China is gutter oil. I think that I already mentioned that, but it's good to remind everyone listening what is gutter oil. Gutter oil is basically feces that you recuperate from the drain, from the drainage, and then you eat those with a bit of animal fat.
Oh my God.
For the smell.
Never
and
heard
taste.
Of that.
And
oh.
then when the produce is supposedly cooked enough, it just leaves you with an oily deposit that is then resold to a street food vendor and hostel and restaurant. So it is supposed that 10% of the cooking oil in China is made with that procedure. So maybe the explanation
is
there also.
That's disgusting.
Yes.
I've never heard of that. That's unbelievable.
Yes.
There's a fakeologist exclusive. If you have a link to that, put it in the
yes, I will,
show notes in Discord.
Yes, I will put
that
link to a video where a nice lady is doing the procedure, but not too graphically. Yes, but that's a reality.
Okay, well,
sadly enough.
Well, the guy was saying, the report from Wuhan was saying that the people there, in general, not everybody, but in general, they'll sneeze in a restaurant. They'll spit on the ground in a restaurant. Maybe they'll eat with their hands. They won't wash their hands. There are lots of sanitation problems in and around in everyday life, and nobody thinks twice about it because they haven't been educated, just like we weren't educated 100 years ago about bacteria and how easy it is to pass it around.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Once in a while, one of us wakes up. It's not supposed to happen, but it does.
So now that China is the center of the world, and there's no doubt it's the industrial center of the world, and they send their stuff everywhere in the world, and they send their food, they send their products, they send everything. Obviously, they're bringing in lots of stuff, too, but they're sending their stuff all around the world, and because of air travel, it's really easy to get the stuff from China to the entire world within a day. So anything, including bacteria, which we call disease, it can come over quite quickly as well. So it's not a big surprise that the world elite are trying to do their best to, number one, they'll capitalize on the fear factor, and then they'll use the opportunity, never let a good tragedy or a good issue go to waste. They'll use the opportunity to create more controls, that's more central controls on all the things that are related to exporting and importing from China. And China is a great country to do these controls in because it's a dictatorship, communist dictatorship, that's what we're told. It's not even really communist. It's really a capitalistic dictatorship where if they want to do something in China, they don't get the cooperation or the approval of the people. Like over here in Canada, if you want to do anything, you want to put up a sign, like I want to put up a sign in my neighborhood, no trucks, because every now and then a truck comes down my road and it gets stuck because it's a dead end. That takes 6 months to put up a sign because they got to get approval. They've got to call the guy that digs the hole in the ground. I think in China, if they want to build a bridge or make a business, they just do it. They want to build a highway and there's something in the way, they either bulldoze it or they build around it. They don't wait. They just do it.
Yeah.
So they have this absolutely dictatorship, authoritarian government. So if they want to do social experiments,
the
like
Chinese
social
are
credit,
living. The Chinese
the
are living under communism. But
I don't even call it communism because I don't think the people share in the wealth. Communism, the idea is you don't
it's
work.
It's only communism under a certain income. If your income is above a certain level, you are not subject to communism anymore.
Yeah, it's a bizarre hybrid of capitalism. And I would say communism is the last part of the definition of China's economy.
Yeah.
It's capitalistic dictatorship, and
yes, it's a communism-flavored capitalism.
Yeah, I don't even know, because they're supposed to be opposites. How can the two work together? That's what we're told.
Yes.
I don't even know.
One example I can give you of the propagation of of not disease, but something different. But I do remember that. When I was younger, never heard of bed bugs epidemic in Switzerland. But 6 to 7 years ago, there was a massive epidemic. We had worked in the 60s and 70s, but the thing is that we have to stop using those chemicals. And the world is getting smaller. People travel continent from continent every day. So in the end, bed bugs are back. And like I said, I have never heard of any occurrence of the presence of bed bugs in Switzerland. But now they are here because of globalism in the end. And it's just bed bugs. It can be, like you said, a bacteria or anything. Anything can travel for a period of time, especially with a time of incubation that is as long as a supposed virus like the flu or something like that. But yes, that was the main item of the news this week that quietly replaced the Third World War threat. So it's funny. I mean, if you live by the news and if you eat the fear that the news is feeding you on a daily basis, your life must be very miserable because no, you just bump like a flipper ball from one fear to the other, one fear to the other, one fear to the other. It was the Islamist, no, the Islamist, okay, we vanquish Islamic State, okay, Islamic threat is not that much of a threat anymore, but Iran, okay. Iran it is. You don't get any time to get over the fact that the world is on the brink of destruction via a nuclear weapon. Then you get a massive outbreak of a virus that is supposed to have the possibility to kill everyone. So like I said, where you were not there, it must be very, very draining on the mind for normies, let's say, to bump from one fear to the other.
Well, there's the real consequences of stress. That's a real thing, and people do get sick, and they can die from stress. The stress of always having something on their plate that causes them untold grief. And because we have instant communications in the world, we get to, if there's no scary story in our neighborhood, we'll bring one in from anywhere you like. If there's really 7 billion or 8 billion or 1 billion people on Earth, there's always a story somewhere. But I was bringing up the idea in the Discord maybe in the last couple of weeks that I think the media calendar is set a year in advance, at least, for some of the small ones. For instance, there's a story planned for every day of the year in the media in advance.
Yes.
Because if you believe, like I do, that almost every story is fake or manufactured, then that means they have to do it in advance. Obviously, it's all scripted. So every day has a story, whether big or small, a plane crash or a boat sinking or anything you can think of. They are already in the can. And you wonder, well, where do they get all the scripts from? Well, there's lots and lots of people, authors, playwrights, people that can write scripts, because let's face it, very few people read books anymore, so all those people that have the talent to write, they got to write for somebody, and the intelligence agencies have unlimited money, so they can buy all these scripts, keep all these people employed. So yeah, there are lots of talented people that probably work for very little money, because they otherwise would make no money unless they went out and did a real job with their hands. So they are employed to write these scripts, these movies. And I would say, I've always said the reward for writing a good script, okay, then they'll push your book, or then they'll push a movie that you might have wanted to be written. Yes. And they'll pay you for that. So any of your hobbies, any of your pet ideas, if you do good script writing, do good fear writing, you'll be rewarded if your script catches on. Because not all scripts are very good, are they?
Yes, and if you lack the ideas, you can always do a remake of something that already happened. It's pretty easy.
Of course, yeah, that's the best way. If there's a, there's tried and true scripts that always work. For instance, the virus script, doesn't matter what the virus is, insert name here, and everything else is the same.
Yes, and you can also use that to apply pressure on some region of the globe, like, for example, China or Eastern Africa, when it was the Ebola scare 2 or 3 years before.
Well, it's a catalyst for bringing in bureaucracy and money. So if we want to modernize Wuhan, for instance, with its 10% growth, and we want to bring in more bureaucracy to do that modernization, because they're not gonna just all of a sudden start practicing safe food handling and sanitation. You need agencies to enforce that and to educate and to regulate. But to bring all that in, you have to create a crisis, and then they're going to get a bureaucracy like we have in the Western world, where it doesn't matter what business you are, it's heavily, usually regulated, and there's usually an agency involved. And of course, Europe has the super agency called the European Union, which that is what they specialize in. To harmonize all the agencies, they create a super agency where you need thousands of people to do that work. And it's funny, Nigel Farage was saying that a number I couldn't believe. He said 10,000 people that work in the European Union, 10,000 bureaucrats, make more than the British Prime Minister. 10,000 people are making that kind of money doing basically nothing except regulating and controlling others? That's fantastic. Huh. What a number. I don't know what the Prime Minister of Britain makes, but he must make at least $250,000 a year, at least.
Easily, I think. One thing that this coronavirus scare is useful to also is to showcase the craftiness of the Chinese people. Like, for example, on YouTube, they are always recommending me this video where the Chinese are supposedly building an hospital in a matter of days for the people that suffer from that disease. So, allegedly, they are wanting to showcase that the Chinese can build a modern, functioning hospital in a matter of days. So that's always useful to show, like I said, the savoir-faire of the Chinese entrepreneur.
Well, first of all, I believe that the Western countries are the primary businesses that are in China. And then the dictatorship of China, they just take a piece of everything, maybe 20, 25%, maybe 50%, maybe 51, I don't know. So they cooperate, they make it possible for these businesses to operate in a very efficient, don't consult the people way. So that's the dictatorship part of the capitalism. So I believe it's American and British and Western countries, or companies rather, that are making all the money or making everything happen in China. I don't think there are too many native Chinese companies, although I'm sure they're busy. Once the Western countries are in there making all their money, they're busy copying them, and they are probably very easily starting their own corporations, modeling them after the Western ones. That's just my guess. I have no idea. But if there really are 1.4 billion people in China, the market is, and half of them are just starting out, the market for products and services is phenomenal in that country. It's a real social experiment that has never occurred before, where you have so many people that are going to be turned into consumers in a very short period of time because of the dictatorship. That is an experiment that took 100 years in the United States, and they're going to compress it in China. So anyone that wants to make money is coming up in any field at all in the Western world, you've got to go to China. If you really want to make your fortune, you got to go to China. And you see countless stories, Main Street stories about, I saw an Australian architect on 60 Minutes Australia, which I watch on YouTube. And the guy was just saying how it takes years to build a senior's home in Australia. But if he wants to build an entire subdivision in China, from design to implementation, it's compressed 100 times. So he says, it's amazing. I'll draw something one day, and the next year, I see it come to life. Never does that happen in any developed Western country. It takes forever to see your drawings come to life. So
I figure that in China, you will, for example, have absolutely no opposition to constructing something because some endemic to the region frogs are living there. They don't care about that. They just build.
Yeah, well, there's no opposition. I'm sure there is opposition, but it's basically just squashed to say, okay, sorry. But one thing I worry about, and I wonder if it's going on, is, of course, there are some regulations that are basically good, I would say, to control unbridled corporate greed and growth. So, for instance, I'm watching a movie that Michael Moore, who I do like and hate at the same time, the guy that did Roger and Me, he recommended a movie called Black Water, or Dark Waters, sorry. Michael Moore has a podcast, by the way. He just started it. And Some of it's good. You take what you can from any podcast. I take some information from it. And Dark Waters is a story about Dow Chemical Corporation, one of the biggest chemical corporations in the world, that makes Teflon and other chemical consumer products. Are you familiar with Teflon?
Yes, yes. I am so familiar with the name Dow Chemical. I think, if I remember correctly, they are responsible for one of the biggest pollution ever in India that killed 1,000 people, if I remember correctly.
Oh, you're hard to hear. I don't know if you went away there. I think you went away there. You're really hard to hear.
Okay. Like I said, yeah, they are responsible for...
I looked that up because I thought the same thing. It was actually Union Carbide in Bhopal, India, which is probably just when you were born. They made pesticides there, and this sort of gets to what I was trying to get to. They had a gas leak there that allegedly killed almost 4,000 people, which, again, we don't know if it's true because we're skeptics, super skeptics here, but it does seem possible that in third world countries or second world countries, or even in this case in the United States, first world countries, these corporations, if they can get away with it, they will dump their waste in waterways and try and bury it in the ground, and it will kill people or animals or livestock. So these corporations, if they can get away with it, they will do nasty things, and it will hurt people. So without regulation, obviously, there is a need for the little guy to go through regulation to stop these companies from killing them with their waste. And I wonder how many of these Western corporations are just getting away with all kinds of pollution in China because there are no regulations or regulators set up. They're sort of the last structures of a society to appear as pushback to these corporations.
Yes, yes.
So I wonder how much toxicity is being dumped into the rivers and lakes in China to fuel their unbridled growth. There's probably tons of it.
Yes, yes. I remember reading somewhere that they
want... Speak up a bit if you can, Jarrus.
Yes, I'm closer to the mic now. I remember reading somewhere that there were some dolphins endemic to the Yangtze River in China, and those are extinct right now.
The Yangtze River flows through Wuhan. I think there's two rivers that meet in Wuhan. So yeah, there's lots of water and waterways, and most cities are on water, obviously, for obvious reasons, historical reasons, transportation and such. But
yes, but China is bound to change because of that event and others. But maybe the narrative is that to accelerate the change in China and have everyone in the world be okay with that.
Well, they're basically shutting down they're shutting down trade and the economy in China for a month or two. And, you know, that's sort of a good thing in a way because their economy is growing so fast. Maybe this is just a little bit of a reset they want to do because any supercharged engine needs to be stopped and shut down for a while before it blows up. You know, obviously, if you run an engine too hot, if you don't let it cool down. So this, and it sounds like it.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
And it sounds like in China, they can easily afford to take a two or a few months reset of their economy by just basically stopping everything. It's sort of like a cleanse, you know, when you go on a fast for a period of time because, again, they're so red hot. The economy is so hot that it could easily afford to take a couple of months off, then reset. So maybe that's part of this whole, you know, all these big events, they're so multi-purpose. they can be used in so many ways. But this is just another way, I suppose, that they can take advantage of this crisis, the so-called crisis.
Yes, never let a good crisis go to waste.
Yeah, but getting back to the fakeologist angle, which of course is the whole point of my blog and the Discord, is I still contend that viruses are fake. They're not real. Everything we see, I had to look up the coronavirus to see if there were any images being purported as real. And the only one I could find, there was one image of a cell, and we have no idea if any of the image has been manufactured, but probably. So there is an image from supposedly a Chinese microbiology lab of a cell that looks like it has a corona-like halo around it, which is where they get the name from, coronavirus. Corona is a halo around the sun, basically. And other than that, all viruses are mainly featured in the media as artists' rendering, and they look like CGI renderings where they look like little aliens or little freaky-looking structures that you wouldn't want in your body. But I contend that all viruses are fake. They don't exist. A virus is just a description of bacteria that the body cannot fight. Now, as far as my understanding of an antibiotic is, if you have a bacterial infection, all they can do is give you an antibiotic, and all that does is boost your immune system and makes your body's own natural mechanisms fight bacteria. And when they say, we can't give you an antibiotic for this because it doesn't work, it's a virus, that means it's a bacteria that doesn't react to your body's immune system. And basically, when you have a virus, what they call a virus over here, they just say, go home and rest. There's nothing we can give you. And to me, yes, that's just an explanation that the medical system cannot deal with certain strains of bacteria. And you just have to basically rest and hope like hell that your body can get rid of it. And if it can't, see you later. You're done.
Yes. But there is a certain type of antibiotics that are not given by regular doctors that each and everyone can order on internet. I think that the name of those antibiotics is something like a last resort or last stand antibiotics, and those are the last ones that were developed, and they are supposed to kill each and every bacteria or infection or whatever.
Yeah, well,
but no doctor will prescribe that to you.
It's probably just an extreme dose of what you can already take. That's probably all it is. It's just probably an extreme dose. And I don't think antibiotics kill the bacteria. I think it's drug is, it just boosts your own body's mechanisms to try and attack them. That's what I believe the mechanism is. I don't know, though.
Yeah, some kind of steroid treatment for your white and red blood cells.
Yeah, whatever your body's natural mechanism is. So I don't believe in viruses, and if you believe, like I do, that it's bacteria, and I think that because of lack of sanitation and the food system over in Wuhan there, where they show pictures, video, which looked real, of meat markets, where you have every kind of meat, snake meat, bat meat, dog meat, cat meat, and all these are sitting out in the open air. They're not being refrigerated. So obviously a butcher probably has lots of nicks and cuts when he cuts the meat. And if the bacteria gets into his bloodstream, it makes him sick. And then he starts hacking away and coughing and spitting all over the place, as we're told. Then that is probably a communicable way of you getting the bacteria if you're around there. And that's how I can see something like this actually spreading, actually happening. So until they get their sanitation and food handling under control, I think that they could have more of a problem than anyone probably over here. But could you catch it here? Yeah, I guess if someone's coughing in your face or you have a nick or a cut and you handle some bat meat that they might have brought over, then yeah, you could possibly get sick. But I would say overall, unless you're there, I'm sure it's not an issue for most people. But anyway, that's my assessment of the Corona Wuhan thingy. And I guess it's still the hottest topic in the worldwide media right now and will be for a while.
Yes, waiting for the next one, in fact.
Yeah. Did you read my post on the Kobe helicopter crash thingy?
Yes, I did read your post on it. Yes, it's an interesting story, that Kobe Bryant story. Not much to make of it, in all honesty, because it's not a really important character to the march of the world, let's say.
Yeah, well, it is to the millennials in the U.S., and I'm told even in Canada, because I talked to a guy that I work with, and he was very upset. He said this guy was a hero to him, and I don't understand hero worship at all, but it doesn't matter how I react. It's how the masses react. So this guy was just a form of God to many people, which to me is bizarre. So he definitely had a huge following. I don't know how huge, but pretty big. So anything that he does or they do to him affects a lot of people. And I'll rebroadcast the post that I made on fakeologist.com in just a minute. So just give me a minute. You don't have to riff when I'm away. You can if you want, but if you do, I won't be able to hear it because I'll be out for a second. But you can just let the video, the audio pause, and we delete all the quiet parts. It sounds like you're moving around anyway, doing something. I'll be back.
Waiting.
All right, you there? Let me know when you're back, Jairus, if you can hear me. I'll carry on with my story when you get back.
And I am back. Yes, we were speaking about this whole Kobe Bryant death in an helicopter crash.
Oh, you're back. Good.
Yes. Yes, I was remembering something about Shaquille O'Neal and Kobe Bryant. There were, I think it was 7 or 8 years ago, allegation that Kobe Bryant had at one point raped a young hotel room in Colorado, USA. So thing is, in that story, which I think is in the media, but the thing is, at that point, he was, of course, questioned by the police, and he allegedly said something interesting about Shaquille O'Neal. He said, "I should do what Shaq is doing," meaning fucking girls outside of marriage and all that, and then buy them cars or some material goods that will buy them their silence, let's say. And so Kobe Bryant said to the police, "I should do like Shaq is doing," meaning having sex with each and every girl I can and then buy something nice to her so that she says nothing.
Yeah, well, those are just stories. They don't mean anything to me.
The thing is that it's funny when you see Shaquille O'Neal crying on TV about a guy that supposedly was never his friend.
Yeah, but he wasn't crying on TV. That's the whole point. I saw that clip. I don't know who put that clip on. Maybe it was PK. PK's pretty good. I watch him on YouTube, even though he doesn't do a very good quality audio or video. I do like his commentary, and he was showing that big behemoth of a man, Shaq. Not a good actor, and he's not able to cry either. Just like apparently a husband of a woman that worked with Kobe, or allegedly her whole family, including herself, was wiped out in the crash. And he's a very bad, duping, delight, crisis actor. Not very good, not convincing, not broken up and busy interviewing on CNN and all the big media outlets.
Yes.
Talking about his wonderful wife.
Yes, but the thing is that those low-level crisis actors, they are doing this for kind of rent, you know, like a monthly allowance that is given to them by some organization. So thing is, they are probably not giving them $15,000 a month. So in the end, they want those people to probably live on under $10,000 a month. So of course, they are not the greatest actors ever.
Well, it's not that they probably just don't have a lot of good training to be actors. And this guy also has a GoFraudMe page, and they're trying to raise $500,000 for him. And, of course, anyone with any modern family with any kind of means at all would have this thing called life insurance. So they would be well taken care of by life insurance if they actually were a real couple, and they would not have to go to the public to go to GoFraudMe to raise money. And why would this guy need any money? Why would he need $500,000 from GoFraudMe if his whole family has been wiped out? That doesn't make any sense. He's still alive. He still is able-bodied. He can go get a job. Yeah, okay. Sorry that you lost your family, if it was a true story, which it's not. But why do we have to give you money? Makes no sense, other than the fact that they want us to pay for his acting, which I won't do.
Yes, yes. But in the end, you get better with age, because if you take the 9/11 actors, they are probably acting a bit better 20 years on than they were the day of.
Yeah, but I don't know if he's a 9/11 actor. But yeah, obviously PSYOPs and crisis actors and LARPers, they've been developing the whole modern media, modern interaction with the modern media tools since 9/11. So they're much better at it, of course. But because only the top actors, I think, are really, really convincing, these middle B and C and D level actors,
depend on something big like a coronavirus or something like that. What I always think is that something important is happening somewhere that is hidden because of, like, for example, this helicopter crash or this supposed disease. That's what I always think. Sometimes somewhere a law is passed or something massive is happening, something that we might have the chance to know about if it wasn't for this very, very quick changing news cycle.
Well, we have the chance to learn about everything all the time. If we just consume and research the media 24/7, all these things are out there, but they're not promoted or they're overshadowed by emotional events like the Kobe crash. Yeah, so the Event 201. Who ever heard of Event 201? Nobody. I never heard of it.
Absolutely nobody.
But that's a drill that went on last year. Now, they could say there's always a drill. Yeah, I'm sure there's always a drill going on, but not in Event 201. That's a major drill that required a ton of coordination. And they are setting the stage for creating real laws to deal with this situation. So real laws, real people, real money is being used in the Corona event, and they were all developed with the drill from last year. Now the drill is a little too close and a little too real to be coincidence. And this is not coincidologist. And I don't know where this came from, but this is not realologist.
Yes, which is funny because you get to have some test runs to have a disease or those type of events. But in the case of humanity wanting to land on the moon, you can do this on your first try. You don't need rehearsal or whatever. So it's funny.
Yeah.
Some types of events you need to rehearse and work months and years on to have them make correct, but somehow when humanity decides to go to the moon, that can be achieved in less than 10 years and to a very, very, very ridiculous human cost, let's say.
Right, and there's always drills with all the events, whether they're the same day, the day before, or in this event 201, a few months before, or a couple months before, but there's always a companion drill to set the stage, literally, for an event that many times were said, it's a drill that went live. Yeah, come on.
Yes.
I don't know how anyone believes that, but obviously enough people believe that a drill can just coincidentally go live that they don't have to explain the absurdity of it. And it's completely absurd. Completely absurd that a drill would go live and nobody would be able to react in an appropriate way. It's just insulting that, but I suppose it's enough of an explanation to satisfy the majority of people, and we're not the majority of people. So it doesn't matter what we think. We're a supreme minority to this day.
Yes, and thing is, in almost all of the case, if you were to see a drill happening live to the untrained eyes, it's similar as the real event. There is not that much difference.
There's no difference, except they have lanyards and bottled water at the standby, ready for all the participants.
Yes, exactly.
And check-in stations, and specially allocated parts of the space where victims go, and...
Yes, like ground. Yes, like ground markers also.
Yes.
For the actors to know where to place themselves.
Well, let me start telling my Kobe story before I have to take another break. Down in Disney World,
yes.
there aren't that many good places to eat, but there's a World Showcase area where there's some pretty good restaurants, and we went to a Japanese restaurant where they have a chef come to your table. With others, you're sitting with other people that you don't necessarily know, and he comes to the big grill in front of you and makes your dinner. And the chef and all the people who work there are Japanese. They come over for a period of time from Japan and shifts and run this restaurant. And on the menu, there are different meats. Yeah, I still eat meat. And one of the menu items was filet mignon. And I usually eat better meat, but less of it, because usually the lower cuts are not good in my mind. So I sometimes spend a little extra money, but I eat less, more quality. And I asked the guy, strangely enough, the Japanese guy, I said, I see you have Kobe beef on the menu. It's $90. I said, I'm not going to spend $90. I'll buy the filet mignon. And I just asked him to explain Kobe beef. They called it something different on the menu. I can't remember what it said. I'd have to look it up. But I asked him about Kobe beef because I knew about Kobe beef. And he was from Japan. So I just asked, is it worth the money? What exactly is it? What makes it so good? And the point is, we had a discussion about Kobe beef in a Japanese restaurant. not even 20 minutes later, the Spanish guy sitting beside me, you know, they were speaking in Spanish, so I was ignoring them because I couldn't understand what they were saying. They're sitting right beside me at this table, this joint bar-like table. And I heard the word Kobe in crash. I thought, wow, because like everyone else in this world, this modern world, everyone is on their phone everywhere, including at a restaurant, including sitting with your friends. People are on their bloody phones doing whatever they do. Now, give me 2 minutes. I'll finish this story in a minute, so give me a minute.
Yes. So, on another note, I had the chance to taste Kobe beef. It's a pretty expensive dish. It cost me, at the time, about $100 for a simple dish with, like, two or three small cuts of Kobe beef. It's very good. To be honest, it's very good. It's melting in your mouth. It has a very distinctive taste, but thing is, it's not worth the money it costs. To be honest, it's a scam, in a sort of way. It's a scam, because you want to spend some money, impress the lady that you are in the restaurant with, or whatever, and you choose that dish, which is the more expensive of the menu, but the thing is that the quantitative jump is not worth it, let's say. You might be more happy with what you have in your plate if you buy a simple cut of beef that will cost you something like, let's say, $30. Will get you a good enough plate that you will not regret spending $100 on this stupid Kobe beef, which is excellent. Honestly, it's excellent. It's just that it's not worth it. At least not on my budget, let's say. But there was a time where I could afford to spend that insane amount of money on something as stupid as a plate in a restaurant. But it's always the same thing. It's more the question of the exclusivity than anything else. It's that's the attraction.
I think you said before I left that you have had Kobe beef yourself?
Yes, I once, a few years back when my financial means were way better than now, I once paid $100 for a plate of Kobe beef,
wow,
which was probably amounting less than 200 grams of the meat, but... I did try it. It's excellent. It's great, but it's not worth the price. Clearly not.
Well, that's what he said. He said it's 50% marbled, which is 50% fat, and some people find it oily. But he said, in his mind, ribeye or filet mignon, which is what I had, is a better value. But I guess
yes,
one day, before I die, I will have to have Kobe beef. But that, again... The synchronicity or the coincidence, and this was a coincidence in my mind, that because I don't think I caused the plane crash by asking about it, that these people were talking about it. So I actually pulled out my phone, which my wife doesn't like me doing, and looked it up. And sure enough, Kobe Bryant, which I've heard of the name, but I'm not a basketball fan. And I read about the crash. And the immediate fakeologist reaction, in case you're new to this audio and this website, is that it's a staged event. They're fake. Because they take these massively popular people in sports, entertainment, sports is entertainment, and they...
That has a persona and his life and everything. The thing is that this guy started allegedly professional basketball when he was 17 years old. That means the guy lived more or less 25 years under the public light. In the end, the guy might just be bored of that. Just simply bored of that and want to live a simpler life. And the occasion was given to him to disappear from public light and he just took it. Because he was, yes, like I said, bored to death to be famous and always harassed. And he wanted to live the life of a normal guy while he was still young, probably.
Or the people that were promoting him and funding him decided that they thought he's had enough of his time, and they do like to tear down these people that people follow and like. It's just part of a psychological destruction or psychological torture that they like to impose on people. And yeah, they kill off the persona. I don't think they kill the person. That doesn't make sense. They don't need to. But they'll kill off the persona. And I think when you're promoted heavily, they don't want you to become too popular and break away from the machine either. Because if you break away from their control, then I suppose you possibly could cause some damage if you yourself thought you were so important that you could act independent of the beast, as it were.
Yes.
So if some of these people get too uppity... Which is entirely possible. If you're a highly paid, very rich in the system figure, it could go to your head, I suppose. And no matter how rich you are, there's somebody richer with more control, and they could just tell them, listen, you're too popular, you need to calm down, and if you don't calm down, we'll create a story in the media. And can you imagine, do you think they could actually create a story in the media to kill off a personality, even if the personality was not willing to go along with it? Can you imagine
yeah.
if he didn't want to go along with it? Who would he call? Would he just go and say, hey, I'm over here, I'm alive? It would be very interesting
no,
if that
it's
actually
pretty
happened.
Easy. It's pretty easy because the guy would say, yes, someone is wanting me to disappear. So if I were to have an accident or kill myself, it wasn't my intention or whatever. But the thing is that the media will just have to spin this like Kobe Bryant is losing his nerves. Kobe Bryant is totally insane. And you play that for like a month and a half, and then if the guy is to disappear or die, everyone will say, yes, but did you see his two last Instagram video where the guy was clearly off his head and saying that people were out to get him? So in the end, it's so easy to destroy a public persona. Those people probably realize pretty early on that it's useless to try to fight against those kind of decisions. The moment
I wonder if that happened with, do you remember Kony 2012? Kony, K-O-N-E?
Yes, Joseph Kony. The Ugandan, I think it was Ugandan warlord.
Yeah, the warlord that used child soldiers, but allegedly the guy that made the movie about that, Kony 2012, he went allegedly nuts, and he was found wandering the streets of Los Angeles naked, uttering...
San Diego it was.
There is an
hilarious parody of that story that was on South Park. It's a musical, small musical skit called Jackin' Off in San Diego.
Now, do we think that is a real story, or that guy went against his controllers? What do we think of that? Is that real, or is that a phony story? It's really hard to tell.
The thing is that it's an excellent exit from public eyes. I mean, you disappear, you went crazy, and no one... think twice about that, or it can be that it's just a warning, you know. Suddenly, on the public eye, we can destroy you, you can make you look like whatever you want. And in the end, it's easy as coming to the guy and say, okay, you have outlast your utility, you are going to publicly disappear. And the guy is saying, no, but I like being Chris Farley, for example. I like being Chris Farley, I like being a famous actor. I don't want to disappear. It's just easy as saying to the guy, okay, but tomorrow we will say on the news that you are butt-fucking children, and we have proof, and there is a video and everything, and we are going to hammer that news for months and months and months and months if you choose to not play along and disappear. And that is just if you don't want to kill the guy. You can say to the guy, you have to disappear. If you choose not to disappear, we will disappear you.
Yeah, kill his character.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Yeah, we call it character assassination.
Yes. And nowadays, it's almost a joke to say that there is a shadow government, that a big company can get you killed or whatever. It's a joke, or even worse, it's a marketing tool. My attention was caught by a friend of mine sent me a link to a song by a Canadian artist, if I can call that an artist, named MacDonald. Tom MacDonald is one of these new rappers that are that have the whole face tattoo in their early 20s and kind of singing melancholic tunes. But the thing is that the guy made a song where he say, if I disappear, it will be government or big pharma. And he's kind of playing the angle that he's supposed to be this guy that revealed the truth and that each and everyone is after him to get him. But the thing is that it's just a promotional tool.
Yeah, of course. A gangster needs enemies, he needs street cred, he needs all that to get any kind of attention or any kind of worshipping of the regular consumers. They need, it seems crazy. You'd think that a musician would need just kind of some great talent and skill, but I guess the problem is lots of people have a lot of talent and a lot of skill, but they don't go anywhere. And with this infinite media universe where anybody can broadcast themselves and anyone can promote themselves, it's too difficult to break out of that million people doing that without some kind of explosive or super controversial event to make them stand out. Obviously, in my little podcast here, very hard to stand out because there's lots of people doing it. And really the only people that listen to us are the people that accidentally, for the most part, come here. And I was hoping that this every big media event, like the Kobe event or the Corona event, that's the only chance that new people will come to the site to potentially look for problems with the story and see if anyone is questioning it like they are. And that's a very tiny amount that come. And Google, of course, they will not promote the site in any way. So it's almost impossible, since Google owns 90% of the searches, for anyone to search their way over. Very hard. We would literally have to go back to old school tactics like IPS does, where you put up a billboard in a city and hope someone looks at it.
Yes. Yes, that's a fact. And yes, you are right. It takes a major event to bring new people forward. I was broke in fakeologist.com by the New Zealand Christchurch event in the end. That's how it is. I saw the video, I saw different things, I heard different things on that topic. And on a more general idea, I wanted to rejoin, and that was the event that triggered it. Because watching the video, I saw some things, and I figured that my point of view on that was valuable enough, so I joined. So, of course, those kind of big events always bring a different
And
people.
How did you find the website again? How did you find it again? I forget.
The origin story of me and Fakeology probably started in 2013-14. I was looking up for conspiracy themed podcast on Podcast Addict, and somehow the Fakeologist radio audio chat was there. So I started to listen. There were different voices that I like more than others, and start to listen on and off for many, many years. I started to check Clues Forum, because at one point you were saying that name a lot, so I checked Clues Forum and all that, and I don't know really why that specific day that triggered me, but I remember that on one audio chat you mentioned the Discord server and that each and everyone could join and participate. For some reason, that day I did.
Okay, so you found it through Podcast Addict, which...
Yes.
Of course, I only recently started using that because my original podcast player for Android went out of development and started crashing, so I had to find something else that replaced it, and Podcast Addict is a very good program. Now, ironically, I don't know if Fakeologist comes up when you search for conspiracies anymore. I've tried to find my website using his search engine. Well, it's not his search engine. He says he uses a search engine from some other service. I don't know exactly what he uses, but it doesn't come up. I think it comes up if you check that you want to search via iTunes, which has its own search engine, or search index, rather. But I've tried... I haven't checked lately, but anyway, that's pretty cool. They use Podcast Addict, and now I use Podcast Addict, coincidentally, because you didn't tell me about it. I just found it. I was just looking through all the podcast applications and found it. Okay, but that's pretty random. Pretty random that you were able
yes.
to come here. Very random.
Yes,
very
I was just
accidental.
Looking for something interesting to. Yes, I was just looking for something interesting to listen to. That's all. And
well,
I did
really
go over all the, yes,
yeah,
I did go over the mainstay of conspiracy.
Engines, yeah, the search engines of the internet are probably the most important way to find websites, and that's obviously why Google set off to control the search engines, and there were many search engines before Google. And they all worked about the same way. There was no one big one. You always were trying to find one that could find stuff well, but
yes.
none of them really did. And then there was a really good thing called Metacrawler, which used all the search engines and tried to take all their results and put them together into one result, which is pretty much what Google did. To copy. Google just copied that idea, and then of course they there's really not a lot of technology required to search the internet.
But no, Google is not really innovative. Google is just pouring money on a good idea. That's it. They just take over a good idea, put enough money on it to make it work, or to realize that it's not working, and they just go on for the next business.
Yeah, but they end up taking over with money, controlling the market, and then they dominate the market and just eliminate any competition whatsoever.
Yes, or any
dissenting views. Yeah, they can do whatever they want to control who you see and who you discover through the so-called search. And I think even DuckDuckGo, which is supposed to be a competitor, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was Google, because it says, I think in DuckDuckGo, that we use Google search engine. So what the hell use is it other than the so-called control your privacy? They're using the Google index. So it's not going to find my site any more than Google itself.
Yes. It's just that your personal information are for a different person to sell. So instead of being directly sold by Google, there is a middleman that is called DuckDuckGo that is also probably selling your info. But yes, they are taking a cut of it. They are just one more step, one more middleman on this shady business. That's how I see them, at least.
Yeah. Well, they're getting promoted a lot, I guess, by Android, which is owned by Google. So, yeah, Google owns most of the important intersections of the Internet. And if you control the intersections, then you basically control the whole thing in one way or the other, because people are not going to try that hard to find anything. And I guess that's why people cry so loudly when they get banned or blocked by YouTube and Twitter, because these companies become so controlling because people don't realize there's other ways to communicate, or it doesn't even matter if there are other ways to communicate, because you basically have to just control where the people go. So if everyone goes to watch soccer, then you have to control soccer. If everyone follows basketball, then you got to follow basketball. If you don't have to control lacrosse because nobody watches lacrosse. Nobody cares.
Yes.
So you don't have to control it. You can let it go. And maybe it's a more
The only extra step, The only extra step I'm taking toward privacy is that if I don't want someone to have a message that I send or something like that, I use a website that you can access via your browser that is called PrivNote. PrivNote.com. And that is basically a messaging service that you can only read once, you know. You can only open the link once. So if I, for example, send you a PrivNote link, you can only open it once via your browser, watch at the message, and once as you leave the page, you cannot access that message anymore. That's the only step I take toward privacy. If I don't want something to be sent directly from my phone number, for example. And it's a great little service. I don't have too much illusion on the fact that they are selling the info back. But whatever, I still use this. Yes, like I said, PrivNote is an excellent small service that you can use via your browser. It will give you, let's say, a layer more of anonymity, but I am under no illusion that they are probably storing the message that I am sending via that service. The thing is, it's a good tool if you don't want something to appear fully in a conversation. And thing is also, most of the people won't even think of taking a screen cap of said message. So let's say you can send something someone that you don't really want to have the possibility to be published or to appear in your conversation. PrivNote. PrivNote.com. PrivNote.com.
So you're sure that your note gets deleted?
The thing is that I know that they are keeping it somewhere on a server. When I use that service, it's mostly because I don't want a certain phrase or whatever to appear in a conversation. Don't want someone to be able to take their phone and show to someone else and say, see, Benoit is saying this to me on message, you know? It's just something that you can only use on.
What if they took a screen cap?
Yes, that's the risk. That's the risk. But most people won't think of taking a screen cap, and at least it didn't come directly from my cell phone. There is a layer of deniability, let's say. And also, the thing is that you can put a code, and then you can send something to someone and be sure that the only person that will be able to read it is the person that you intend them to read, you know? Because if you don't have the code, you cannot open the message. So it's another layer of privacy, but I am, like I said, under no illusion that it's probably data protection-wise as bad as any other one.
Yeah, I'm not that. I have my own email server, so I think everyone should as well.
It's way more safe, clearly.
Yeah. How much time do you have
for
today?
As much as I want, honestly. It's slowly raining. My girlfriend was up at 5 a.m. this morning, so she's already taking a nap. So my day is more or less totally free.
Oh, okay. Well, normally at this time we're doing the Fart Podcast, but I guess that's closing down, and your the host Rolo is still in Colombia. I haven't heard too much about them.
We were speaking off air last week and he appeared, but I will be totally honest with you, it's too soon. It's too soon for me. I cannot speak with Rolo while he's in Colombia. It's too much of a mindfuck for me at the moment, to be honest. And the thing is that...
Okay, I won't bring it up.
Yes. But I am happy for him and all the best. And he's coming back to Australia on Tuesday, if I am correct.
Oh, okay. I won't bring it up then. I just mention it because maybe the first podcast is going to stop soon. Which is
I think that they wanted to reach number 50. I am not sure if that number has been reached or if they are stuck at 49. But I know that they intended to do at least to reach the 50th episode. And after that, I think that it's public knowledge at this point that the super producer Velocet is not going to be able to continue producing. Is it because of personal choice or whatever? I can't really tell. I can't tell. But the thing is that they will lose their super producer, and I think that in those conditions, they will not do the Fart Podcast as they used to do, but there will probably be something to replace it. Maybe even there on Fakeologist.
Well, as much as it's nice to have a producer, you don't need it. The sound effects, they're all fun, and he keeps the show moving in a professional way, which is excellent. But people are just there to listen to the stories, and there because they might like some of the characters there.
Yes, but I get to say that when I was hyper researching the show that I did each and every week with Gaia, sometimes more than once a week, I would say that having someone that is not really intervening but still in the shadow to producing is something that is very, very useful. But on a more simple episode,
it's great.
Yes.
Yeah, it's great to have a producer, no doubt.
But yes, for a more tongue-in-cheek discussion like we are having, it's clear that it's not needed. I mean, we will probably play no audio clips. We don't really need any sound bites or whatever. So in that sense, yes, it's not really needed. But I know that the Fart guys are kind of perfectionists and they wanted their final product to have a certain standard. And I don't know how this thing will evaluate, but I know that the guys like to speak together, and I know that they had an audience, so in the end, something will come in place of the Fart Podcast. Maybe it will even be the Fart Podcast, but under a different, how can I say that, roster.
Right, good, yeah. Very good. You know your English words, that's for sure. You know your English words.
Yes.
Very good.
Yes, but
well,
my plan for 2020 is to take some English lesson to kind of erase the accent as much as possible.
Oh, fantastic! Well, you're doing your English lessons on by practicing over here.
Yes, yes. But just the other day, my daughter, that is 13 years old, makes fun of my French accent. So at that point, I got to do something. I cannot let my daughter make fun of me when I am speaking English.
Well, I don't think you're ever going to get rid of your accent. That's just who you are. I don't see what the point is to get rid of it either. It's not hurting you in any way, and I would just leave it. The only thing that it might interfere with is other people's ability to understand you. But I can understand
yes.
you. But I'm pretty good with accents. I deal with a lot of different accents here in Canada. My wife always says, when I'm talking to somebody with an accent, I adopt the accent, and she thinks that's stupid. I say, well, sometimes I think if I adopt the accent, it helps the other person understand me, but maybe it's just...
If you want to encourage more audios like these, please go to Fakeologist.com and click the Patreon button under the Donate section. For $1.19 a month, you can call yourself a verified listener, and for $9.11 a month, a benefactor, who will get a shout out every time Ab does a show. Thank you for your support.
And of course, the band Rush, and we're told a few weeks ago that Neil Peart died of some brain cancer. Whether it's true or not, doesn't matter. He was the persona was a great drummer, and the park that I went to, and there's another sink, because I went to the park where he wrote one of his songs about a month or two ago, back when the weather was a little better, and I actually played the song on my phone of that park, and of course, we all know, a couple months later, he disappeared, and apparently there's a pavilion in the park that the city council may put a plaque on with his name on it. So all that is pretty interesting that, the Fakeologist here is bumping into all these coincidences. And,
yes.
That's where that
here in Geneva, it's different. We don't give plaques to dead rockers or whatever. The last commemorative plaque I can think of is a plaque that was put in near the river side. In honor of Bartolome Tessia. Bartolome Tessia was a teenage fag in the 15 to 1600. I don't remember the date well, but anyway, he was a young fag, and what they do at the time with those kind of individuals is what they throw them in the river. So that poor teenager was thrown in the river because of his alleged sexual preference, and he died. And 500 years later, he got a commemorative plaque in honor of the poor guy.
Wow.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah, you really have to wait a long time in Switzerland.
Yes. Yes, and you have to wait for the political climate to be favorable to you in that sense. But to be honest, I don't believe that this guy ever exists. It was just an occasion to enforce the fact that homosexuals are no protected category.
Yeah. Well, now that looks like I accidentally caused the bot to die in Fakeologist, which I apologize.
I'm not sure, in all honesty. Because,
no,
because
I
noticed...
I think it was. Yeah.
Yes, but the trip secondary tech account, which was bot account, left almost in the time period that the bot stopped working. So it might be related.
I think I kicked it out, because I didn't know what it was. I forgot what it was. I blame myself. I'll take the blame on that. And, of course, I can't bring it back. Only he can bring it back, because I don't have access to however you bring it back. But so I brought in other bots, and they all do about the same thing. I don't know if Fred Boat...
Yes.
I think I found the premium Fred Boat. Yeah.
Yes, but I'm working on something Deb Kelly is probably going to tell me which audio bot is the best, paying audio bot, of course. And I will pay for it to be included in the Discord. That will be my contribution for 2020.
Yeah, I think I can only, because I'm the owner of, I think
yes.
I have to bring it in. So you can tell me, send me the link
yes.
I can bring it in.
Exactly. What I will do is just pay for the bot and give you the username, all the control and whatever.
That's okay. I'll pay for the bot. It's not a big deal.
Yes, no. It's just... Yes.
No, you don't have to pay. I'll pay for it. Just tell me the bot that you like, that does all the things you want, and I'll bring it in. Don't worry. I don't want you to pay for the bot, because then if you get mad...
The cute tweet bot, I like very much. That one is incredible. Cute tweet. The one that is answering with a quote when you are mentioning this name. Or her name, if it's
tweet.
A female bot.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, she's great. Really great. Or he's really great. Or it's really great.
Yes. Yes, I also really like the Dino bot because he's keeping me... it helped me keep me in touch with what is happening on the server. If someone has left, if someone new has joined... Some those type of things are really useful.
And if someone changes their message, edits their message, it's very good, yeah.
Yes. Yes, that is very, very needed.
Yeah, if there's any other bots you want, let me know.
In the end, what we just need is a good audio bot with volume control, but we are working on it. And yes, apart from that, just Dino, because yes, keeping track of who is coming, who is leaving, and those type of things might be useful.
Doesn't Fredbot have volume?
No, the free version of Fredbot doesn't have volume control, I think. I remember trying to change the volume last week.
I paid for the premium version. But I stopped. I cut it off. I stopped paying, and
yes.
I thought the bot would still work. Does the bot not do volume?
I think that the free version doesn't allow for volume control.
No, but once I bought the paid version in, I didn't kick it out. I don't see how they can turn it back into the regular version because they don't have I don't think they have a way of telling that I stopped paying. That I can tell.
I really don't know, but I do remember that last week I tried to change the volume and it was not allowed.
What did it say?
But I don't really know what it said, but I will do it later on, and then we will see the error message that shows.
Because I did pay for the paid version for a while.
Yes, I remember when the bots that tripped put together were not playing YouTubes anymore.
Yeah. But so I paid for the bot, it worked, and then I stopped paying to see if it would still work. It probably does, because there's no database that doesn't phone home and ask if the guy's paying. It's just when the bot leaves, then I can't bring it back in without the link from the paid menu. But I don't plan on kicking it out. So yeah, make sure you don't kick out the Fredbot, because if you do, then I have to pay to bring it back in.
Yes, the only person I kicked out recently was our good friend Dave J, because Dave J definitely got to learn some manners.
Yeah, I know. He's very harsh. And
I can take the harshness. I know that you can take it, but there is some people, new members especially. No, if you are a new member on the Psychologist Discord, you just have a nice discussion with Garris, which seems like a pretty reasonable guy, and then suddenly you end up in a room where Death J is. You might never come back, and that happened, in fact. So
I agree. Yes, I know what you're saying. That's reasonable. Yeah.
But he's not banned. He's not banned. He's kicked. He can come back, and he is back. At any point, he just didn't ask for any verification or nothing yet. So, but he is on the Discord server. He's just not verified.
Well, he has to realize, you know, when you're in someone else's Discord, you are a guest, so you should act like a guest. Don't act like a boor.
Yes. Yes, and in the end, everything is done in a good spirit, except from a very, very, very rare shouting match. Everything here is doing in a good atmosphere. There are not really different movements, not that much in fighting. So we don't really need to bring that in, because everything is working fine that way.
Yeah. All right, hold on for a few minutes, yeah.
Yes. Yes, to everyone interested, there are, at one point there was an interesting debate between Abu Liad, which is a Muslim, and other person that are not subscribing to the Muslim theology. So yes, everything can be done here under under a certain method, under certain rules, and certain social comportment. So yes, everything can be done in good spirit. And I know that Dave, Jay, has the possibility to interact with us on a totally calm and normal manner, but going around calling moderator of a certain space you desire to use the beach is probably not the way to go. But like I said, he's not banned, he's just kicked, he's already back on the server, and he can ask for verification whenever he chooses to do so. So yes, as to everyone listening, don't be afraid to join the Discord and interact with us, speak with us, recorded or not. Everything is of interest in the end. It's always good to have a different perspective. I can give you the example of the 3 weeks ago episode where we had Dead Kelly speaking to us about the Australian fire from a first-hand perspective and all that. So I think that yes, we don't really need the aggravation, to be honest. We just need some sane people that interact in a civil manner over topics that are of interest to them. And also, I never heard of any success story in life that started with the word I was pissing everyone off and being a general nuisance, and that's how success came. That's never, ever, ever the case.
All right, Joey, are you there?
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. You can see it when you look out your window or when you turn on your television. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
All right, you're back. Hi, Jareth. Bonjour. You there? Really? Go ahead.
Yes, for some reason the mic of my other headset wasn't working.
Oh, no wonder I couldn't hear you.
Yes, I've spent the better part of the past 5 minutes on a phone call not realizing that the person on the other end could not hear me.
Didn't they say anything?
Yes, but it was not clear. It was one of those strange situations where each and everyone is thinking that it's working on both ends, but it is not.
Okay.
So I think that we were still speaking about this Kobe situation, this Kobe Bryant event.
Yes. Is there any doubt in your mind that it was a staged event, or?
No, there is not that much doubt in my mind. One of the telling facts is that he was overtook by LeBron James in the scoring chart on the NBA, the total career scoring chart. Just the day or 2 days before his disappearance, He was took over by LeBron James. So for some reason, his name was back on the news again, just before his convenient disappearance. So I don't really believe that story.
There's a lot of imagery of the helicopter showing different tail numbers. And then, of course, the helicopter we're seeing in the media at the crash site, where there's a single plume of white, looks like steam, because most burning fuel is black. But the steam was rising from a single point that looked like it was coming from a furnace vent.
Yes. It is clearly not
and,
the...
And that wreckage was the color of his old helicopter, or whenever the helicopter before was painted.
Yes, yes. And
that's,
clearly
that's
it was not the nice helicopter that I saw. It was not that one conditioned conveniently enough that had the accident. It was another one.
And it crashed conveniently by an access road, so they didn't have to spend too much time getting to the site because it was right by the road.
Yes. Yes, it's always the case. It always happened near a road for some reason.
Yeah, well, for the reason that they just drag the junk in and drop it off at the side of the road.
Yes, it's easier in that sense to access the crash site with a vehicle, machine, whatever you need to make it look right.
Now, Dante from New York, who I think is from the John LeBon server, he left some very good messages in the Discord, and I appreciate his skepticism of fakeology, which allows us to try and explain ourselves. And I did get a little aggravated with him in the sense that he kept telling us why our ideas were wrong without providing any alternative ideas about how this could be done. See, I'm just going by the idea that it's fake. So all we can do is try and figure out how do they pull off the magic trick. We don't know. We can only guess. And that's what we're speculating about. And then somebody brought up a point, I can't remember who right this second, that said, how do we even know that the alleged daughter of Kobe is actually his daughter? It could be a lifetime actress. Just like we're skeptical that the Obamas are a real family at all, because... number one, the children don't really look like either of them, other than the fact their skin is black. They could be lifetime or LARPers as well.
Yes, definitely.
Because they don't just decide last week Kobe's going to die. That doesn't work that way. These are long-term plans that get developed. And his daughter, I can't remember how old she was supposed to be.
13, I think.
If she was, say, how old?
13, I think.
Yeah, so they could have hired an actress in the last few years to play his daughter. That's very easy to believe.
Yes.
And the only people that would
Kobe
know
Bryant
that...
story, it reminded me of a story of last year that happened in Europe, in Great Britain, to be exact. The owner of the Leicester Football Club, which is a professional club in England, a good one at that, he died on an helicopter crash, which was almost entirely filmed, because the guy took off from the center of the pitch. So there is a film of the helicopter coming down, the guy getting in with some members of his staff. Then he take off, and suddenly you can see it going up in the sky, and then he go down. And then the next footage is of the crash site itself.
Now, on the last No Agenda show, 12-12...
So that story has some similarities to the other one. Because there is footage of the Kobe Bryant alleged helicopter crash. At least there is footage of the helicopter going down.
Yeah, but the footage is missing so many key components. No seats, no bodies, no actual burning of fuel, no scorched earth. It's just missing.
And the thing is, in almost all cases that doesn't involve someone that is known to the public, you can see, like, for example, people filming the crash site just after it happened, so there is a mangled body and everything. But strangely enough, in the case of celebrities, there is never that type of footage. You can never really see someone filming the crash site up close with human remains or some clothing item. In the case of celebrity, for some reason, that those type of image doesn't really appear.
And Adam, from the No Agenda show, on the last one I listened to, 12-12, he says he's a helicopter pilot. And he actually gave some pretty interesting information on flying a helicopter and the very dangerous situation where there's a whiteout where you can't see. Apparently, when you can't see where you're going in any plane, your brain makes very bad decisions because you have no point of reference, you have no horizon to get your bearings, and you can turn the vehicle upside down almost immediately because you don't know where you are unless you're trained and good at reading your gauges, including your horizon gauge. But if you don't know how to use it or you're not good at it, you can literally, it's very easy to crash a helicopter. Personally, helicopters are, to me, a modern miracle of flight, and they make me nervous just looking at them. It's amazing that they can stay in the air at all. So it just, I guess that fact I must share with others, because most people just presume that a helicopter is probably one of the easiest vehicles to crash, which I suppose lends itself to making this story more believable. If you get into any kind of fog, then you probably only have a very short amount of time, especially if you're flying on the side of a mountain or any industrial area where there's wires, that thing can crash.
The interesting thing, if I can say, about the genesis of helicopters themselves, is that one, if not the pioneer of helicopters was Igor Sikorsky. And the funny thing about Igor Sikorsky is that he worked for the communist government while in Russia, and then he emigrated to the USA, where he developed a company with Bell Sikorsky.
Right. Yes, and this was the Sikorsky helicopter.
Yes, indeed. But most of them in the USA are Sikorsky Bell helicopters, I think. I don't really think that Eurocopter or the concurrent brand are that much used in the USA.
I don't know. But
yes.
Whatever the case, the lead LARPer or live action role playing witness, or not the witness, but family member, he's been on the media, he's been on Anderson Cooper, and he is a very poor LARPer, cannot fake crying. Most people, as I've said before, the fine line between laughing and crying is very, very, laughing and crying are very close. So when they say, oh, he's laughing, well, you try and force yourself to cry, because the same facial features, the same processes are in a laugh. So to go from a laugh to a cry is a very infinitesimal degree of difference. That's why they look like they're laughing, because they're trying to cry, and that always comes across as a laugh. Now, of course, if you're crying naturally, it's easy to tell that you're really crying.
Yes.
You're not laughing.
Did you ever fly in an helicopter yourself?
No. There's one at Niagara Falls, a tourist helicopter that can take you over the falls. And every time I go, I ask my wife, do you want to go on that? And she says no. Because I sort of want to go on it and fly over the falls, but she won't go.
Yes, I almost had the occasion to fly in an helicopter over the Alps in Switzerland, but it was kind of a reward at the end of boot camp. But there were 2% from my unit and other each unit that was there that were to be selected to stay at base and not take the helicopter for a ride over the Alps. And since I was a general pain in the ass to everyone in my unit at the time, I was one of those that did not have the chance to take the helicopter. And I was really, really pissed about that for a full week.
Well, sometimes I think that jumping out of a helicopter, or sorry, flying a helicopter is like jumping out of a plane. Doesn't seem like a great idea. It sounds fun. I'm sure there's an element of thrill, but to take that unnecessary risk seems a little crazy. If you don't have to jump out of a plane, or you don't have to fly in a helicopter,
yes,
it probably is a
exactly
good idea.
Yes, but that was the perfect occasion. Because I was 20, so stupid enough to not realize the implication of it, and brave enough to do it. So it was the perfect occasion, and I missed it because of my general attitude toward the army, let's say.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
My only other connection to helicopters is where I live. Our police force has a helicopter. And it must fly over our house every night. It usually comes out at night. And my house is near the border of the region. So he probably goes around the edge of our region. And because I'm on the border, he almost always flies over our house. And when it's really cold out in the winter, the air is very compressed. And the noise that the blades make is very loud, because when the air is cold, the sound travels at a higher amplitude, and it's loud. And I find it a little bit annoying, because I don't really think there's anyone in and around my house that requires a helicopter to search for. So that's my only other connection. Spurious, yeah. I know, but...
And at this point, the only other helicopter ride I might take is the hospital one, so I'm happy with the fact that I will never fly on an helicopter.
Now, PK has a YouTube channel. He's from Melbourne. And I kind of like the guy. So if you watch, you can find one of his audios or YouTubes where he discusses this Mauser character, who is apparently the husband of the woman that was associated with Kobe. I don't know if she was a coach. And her three children, or their three children, allegedly went down in the crash. So if you want to try Fred Bowden, then you can play with the volume as well if you have the ability. It might be fun just to play a clip of PK's audio.
Yes, I'm currently outside, so it might reveal difficult for me to type what I am
working.
Oh,
you're outside,
but,
okay.
Yes, that's
oh,
one of,
working,
if not the main, yes. The thing is, it's like one of the main reasons why I'm not that much on air anymore, is that in my new living quarter, let's say, I cannot speak English out loud for very long, so each and every time I want to spend more than 15 minutes speaking English out loud, I get to go out.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
Which is terrible. I really like the previous session where I had my own space where I could do what I want. But it will take some time, but I will get there.
Yeah, alright. It's very windy where you are.
Yes, yes, for some reason the elements are against me, so I think that we will have to end this with the winds now giving no sign of slowing down, and the rain is starting to be very heavy.
Are you saying you have to go?
Yes, 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 the weather conditions outside are not permitting me to record the as you can all hear.
Alright, yeah, you're very windy. Alright, Jared, well, it was nice chatting with you today.
Yes, yes, always a pleasure, and I think that we will do this next week on the same time frame, let's say.
Yes, it's good for me. It's good for me. Thank you. Excellent.
So I look forward to speaking to you, and bye everyone. Thank you for listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com, and bye-bye.
Bye-bye. As Jared blows away in the Swiss wind, this is the Fakeologist speaking. Anyone else who wants to come chat, I'm usually around at 5 a.m. Eastern time on Saturdays. You can come by. It's a rare window when I'm around and I'm able to talk with few interruptions. So feel free to come by, send me a message. I'm usually from 5 till 9 a.m., free and available for chat. And anyone's welcome on the Fakeologist audio chat. You can discuss the blog, or even busier, really, is the Discord. Discord has made a few improvements. I think they even have a quote feature now, so if you're trying to reply to a message that's scrolled off the page and bring in some context to a reply, you can actually quote the original message. That works on the Windows app and on the Android app, which is what I have for mobile use. So Discord is still trying to get better. They have some issues with their Bluetooth, but other than that, it's a pretty good app for communicating. So if you want to come on to the audio chat, just hit me or Jairus up, send us a message, and we will verify you. And then you can read the forums, the text forums, and or join us in the audio chat. Otherwise, we'll just bring you in manually to the audio chat. But you're certainly welcome to come by.
That's all, folks.